The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some who are last will be first. Some are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, will only a few people be saved? The ones who were asking that question of Jesus presumed that they would be among the number, whether few or great. But Jesus had come from heaven to earth not to answer our questions flowing from curiosity. Jesus was coming from heaven to earth precisely to save us. So he wasn't going to give us a number. He wasn't going to tell us how many are saved. He was going to tell us how people are saved. A lot of the times today, we think the way people are saved is, got to get baptized, got to come to Mass, got to put something in the basket, and don't become a serial killer. No. Jesus says, turns around, and when he's going to tell them how to be saved, he says, strive. And the word there in Greek is agonize. Agonize to squeeze through the narrow gate. That's a verb that's supposed to describe our entire life. Someone who agonizes to fit through the narrow gate. Jesus goes on, "Many, I tell you, will attempt to enter and won't be strong enough." They won't be strong enough to let things go so that they can squeeze through that narrow gate. "Then the master of the house will be there and they'll be knocking, 'Open the door for us, widen it so that I can take all my worldly stuff with me, all my worldly attachments, widen it.' 'I don't know where you're from. I don't know you. We haven't developed that personal relationship of deep friendship. I have made it with you. Have you made it back with me? Are you as loyal to me as you are to your husband or your wife? Are you as loyal to me as you are to your best friend? Are we on that term?" And they'll say, "Hey, we ate and drank in your company. We came to Mass, Jesus. You taught in our streets. We listened to your words, Jesus." Question is, were you in communion and were you really acting on those words? St. Matthew's version of Jesus' similar expressions during the Sermon on the Mount said, "We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We worked miracles in your name." Jesus would say, "I still don't know you." He's not looking for an external relationship, for just ourselves to be called Catholic. He's not asking us to do certain things in his name. The biggest failures in this regard are going to be priests. We will say, "I call down your body and blood to the earth." But Jesus may say to priests, "I don't even know where you're from. I thought I did, but I don't." We've got to agonize to fit through the narrow gate. Agony, as we meditate when we pray the sorrowful mysteries, is not easy. Agony doesn't mean we're going downhill, carrying a cross made of styrofoam on rollers. Agony means really hard effort. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. It's not all our effort, it's not all our work, but it's to open ourselves up to the effort He wants to do within us. He said these words, as St. Luke tells us, as He was making His way to Jerusalem. Not making His way to the Mediterranean, not making His way to the Dead Sea to have a swim. He was making His way to Jerusalem, and we know what happened in Jerusalem. He agonized there. And then He turns and He says, "Follow Me." Now, I'm not pretending this is easy, but we've got to give up the pretension that the Christian life is easy, because it ain't. It requires this type of agony. But God comes to the help of our weakness. St. Paul tells us, who strove to enter through the narrow gate from the day of his conversion all the way to the end, that though we're weak and we need God's help to be able to make that effort, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. He's going to help us to pray. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. How does the Spirit intercede and help us in our prayer? Not by putting words on our lips, but by changing who we are as we pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to cry out, "Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit helps us to pray as beloved sons and daughters of God. As we're striving, we know that we're doing it under the Lord's love. And that's why, even though there's going to be suffering along this road, as we sometimes are forcibly detached from the idols that we make, as we've got to continue to make the effort to follow Jesus, persevering and running the race and fighting the good fight, as we heard on Sunday, we have confidence. St. Paul goes on to say, we know that all things work out for the good for those who love God, including our sufferings, including our pains. To those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, all things don't work out for the good for those who don't love God. Is that because God wants to punish those who don't love Him? No. But it's because those who know they're loved by God and love God in response behave in a different way to suffering. Sufferings can either make us bitter or better. When we really aren't living in the love of God, when we're not really following the Lord, when the sufferings happen, we're worse off. We allow the devil to tempt us to alienate ourselves from God because of the sufferings. What did I do to You, Lord? There are 6 billion people on the earth. How did I end up with bone cancer? How did I end up with a husband who really doesn't love me? How did I end up with children and grandchildren who have wandered away? What did I do to You? I followed Your commandments. Why am I cursed in this way? Those who love God, who recognize they're His beloved sons and daughters, helped by the Holy Spirit, respond totally differently. They'll respond like St. Monica. It's never easy. It was an agony for St. Monica. But she continued to pray for her husband, continued to pray for her son. And it was through that work that she became the great Saint Monica. I could multiply the examples. But when we live in the love of God, all things do work out for the good. And then St. Paul continues, "For those who He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." To be conformed to the image of Jesus involves the whole life of Jesus, including Jesus' agonizing to enter through the narrow gate. If we're going to be conformed to Jesus, we're going to be conformed to Him on Good Friday before we're conformed to Him on Easter Sunday. That's the Christian life. And it doesn't even stop there. And those He predestined, He called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, made right with God, he also glorified. Gave him great glory, sometimes in this world, but always in the next. That's why all things work out for the good, because even in the midst of the tough things we need to endure occasionally in life, when we unite them to the Lord and his love, he uses those things to purify us, to justify us, to confirm us in our call, so that one day he can glorify us together with his Son, to be configured to the image of his Son also in glory. So now it comes to us. Are we actually going to strive? Are we going to agonize? Are we going to give it as much of an effort as Johnny Gomes gives when he plays baseball, as we'll see tonight? Are we going to give it our all? That's what Jesus wants. It's not enough for us to hear his words as we do every morning. It's not enough to eat with him. It's not enough to go out and do works of charity in his name, including tremendous works that he does through our prayers. But what he really wants us to do is follow him through that narrow gate. Let us turn to the Holy Spirit, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, because we don't know the future, and we really don't know what's good for us. But he does, and we trust ourselves to him, knowing that every hand we're dealt is a winning hand, provided that we unite it to the Lord. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray in this way, to pray for the gift of courage so that we might continue to persevere, becoming humbler, becoming smaller, so that we can squeeze through the narrow gate. And that narrow gate is the girth of a cross. Praise be Jesus Christ.